that
we've got three trustees listed as well.
So have the minutes got the list of the things that we need to do to clear this out?
Oh, that's a fair point, John. You mentioned that in an email. John said...
I wasn't aware of that. I'll pick that up with John. Yeah.
John made a very good point. There were not enough names on the...
To my credit, it wasn't me. But it was,
I was there.
Something I'll pick up.
You were there, I think. Who was the third one?
It's, of course, because we never told them about the change of trustees. I'm surprised they don't have the original five, actually.
I'll
there was three on Tuesday.
Yeah,
Steve, can you just say what the things are we've got left to do?
As I haven't done my homework, I can't say to all certainty, but what Andrew says sounds accurate. What John says sounds accurate.
Is it in the minutes?
I think it's in the reports tomorrow. I'm just full of John's, we left quite long.
Right.
There you go.
Oh, excellent.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, that looks like we've got that in hand, doesn't it? And looks like John's going to come tomorrow.
And that does look like everything we just said to me.
Yep. Does.
There's one other point in addition to the six John has just raised there, and that's the open publishing of what we've done.
What
can we openly publish about the transactions, the Charity Commission letters and so forth? Because we've had a few questions from our members interested. We've also had questions from other organisations about the interest.
I've been dealing with that.
Might be secrets, it's all an OTRS probably. But
I've shared the initial letter saying well done with a charity with Richard, thinking that that's the place to send it centrally.
But I think it's the background pack.
Yeah,
all that. Are we going to publish all of that? Or
I would hope the board would go yes, but I think it would be helpful, or maybe a couple of members of the board, to read it all again in case there is anything secret. I don't think there is.
I think there's some great stuff in the Charity Commission letter that came back.
Yes.
There are a few issues with the letter, which we might have to be a little
careful. That's my concern.
Well, I suggest if we do have to redact, I suggest we get on and do it.
And we probably need the Charity Commission consent to do it anyway.
Yes.
So.
Yes, I believe when the yes came back, I can't remember what they were. There were two or three things that John and I's eyebrows raised, and we went, "Is it strictly true?" But as it was a yes, we had a really good to go back in question.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And that's liable to be the thing that would interest somebody who was interested in the fine detail of that letter.
I'd like to release the lot. But we need a final view just to make sure.
Yeah. I think a couple. If people look at John's bigger document and just reassure themselves it's okay, I think it should go up on the web, and it should also go to the foundation. I think it's a fabulous document.
I think fabulous web email link to the foundation. That'd be great.
Yeah, it's a fabulous document, and they'd love it, and it'd be very useful for other chapters who wish to become charities.
Or other charities.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or other charities.
We have had emails from other charities asking,
can we do this as well?
ICC.
Wanting them more.
Mm. Tell us how you do it. Right.
Tell us your secrets.
Yes.
Well, I think our mission statement says we have to help
us. I'd be happy to engage in informal conversations with them until
John's got the.
Oh, John's got the. I've been dealing with it. Okay. You have? Okay.
Let's go back to the agenda.
Am I on?
I thought it was 12 o'clock. Was mind me?
Yes, am I on?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to propose a different format for this meeting because we've been sat around for a long time.
Can I get to put the title at my mic on?
Yes.
You're going over there?
Sure.
Yes.
That trip. I was going to suggest something a bit more, dare I say, brief form. There's two bits of on the agenda here. The first thing is the missing piece of our jigsaw.
It's hooked.
Somebody's going to have to go up their hands and knees on the floor. I'll move the camera in a moment.
We've talked about, but we haven't really done as formally as we really need to, which is about aligning what we're doing, as we set out in the 25 Activity Plan, and what the Foundation and the Wikimedia Movement globally has got in their strategic plan, and talking about how it relates to each other and how it aligns and how it complements to each other. And I mean, I've been through it as an overall, and I've got a number of questions that I think I'd like to ask, and I very much involve Sue in this. Linking to you specifically asked to have on the agenda something about increasing participation and the role of chapters in that. So I wanted to bring you in as well. Is that okay to have that as an approach?
Yeah, I have a deck, right, which is specifically on editor retention. So yes. There's a carve out for a piece of time to talk data and numbers about that.
And that's here. That's this bit. So yeah.
Oh, is that this bit?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Is that okay for you?
It's fine. I have a full deck though. What do you want me to do with it? I mean, I don't know when.
how long do you want?
I can do it at any point.
How long do you want?
It's probably realistically about a half an hour. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but.
Okay. So if I get wrapped up in quarter of an hour and then lead into you for sure. Half an hour, I think that would work.
Okay.
In simple terms, I mean, looking at the strategic plan, there's five things. Actually, I mean, Sue, do you want to introduce the strategic plan generally?
Unless you want to go ahead.
This is the document that we're all aware of the process that it went through. Obviously, a lot of people, the usernames of everyone involved is at the back, and there's a lot of people in this room were involved in that. I saw mine there as well. And that was a long process, and they came up with these strategic goals for the Wikimedia movement, global movement for the next 5 years. And it came into five categories: stabilize the infrastructure. And reading through the document, that's treating infrastructure in a broad sense of the word, not just technical nuts and bolts servers, that kind of thing, but broader than that. Increasing participation, and specifically connected to that is also the Global South agenda, and increasing female participation, as that's a particular underrepresentation at the moment. Improving the quality of articles or of information on the improving reach. And also a piece on innovation. Looking at how this relates to the 2012 activity, there's quite a lot in there which is relevant, and very much aligns with what we're doing. We've got this £10,000 tool server grant, which we just talked about earlier, which is obviously very much about infrastructure, but from a narrow point of view, from a technical point of view. There's also an £80,000 element in there, which is this development piece on commons, and this is I don't know if you want to say anything more about that, Faye, because this is something you've been more involved in.
80,000.
Yeah, this is the thing that we're doing with the number of different chapters.
This is a proposal really raised by Liam.
It's
for the loading to build a professional quality loader of images into the commons process, because at the moment you can load one, maybe a dozen, but if somebody comes to us and says they've got a million images, we go, oh dear, that's a big problem.
It's a wider basket of things, and because I was thinking of the commons development in terms of maturing commons, which is a different thing. This is a specific tool issue, which is actually developing tools to help commons. It's a bit narrower. Yeah. We did talk about this in GlandCamp New York, in some detail. I worked with a group there, and we started to specify it out. That then sort of deferred, say that was actually part of lobbying the foundation to get it moved. The foundation kind of said, we're not interested, come back in 2 years' time. And it's kind of sort of got a bit soggy since then. And we're not, so that needs to be, the whole thing needs to be resurrected and have a proper discussion somehow.
Yeah.
But the whole thing's £200,000 led by the Dutch, to pay Europeana to build this tool for us.
But they're not the only potential partner. I'm not sure that we've looked around. So there's also a bit of other stuff around it, you know.
Yeah, the paragraph in the activity plan says, with international partners, we will develop technical tools via the tool server or MediaWiki development to support content donations by partner organisations and assess their impact. This item is reliant on cross-chapter collaboration with Wikimedia France, Netherlands and Germany, and a potential partner in Europeana. This project is meant to remove the bottleneck to the expansion of Wikimedia Commons because of its inability to load large quantities of files. So this is the bulk upload issue, isn't it? Yeah. So that's one example of what we're doing on that side. In terms of increasing participation and quality, you know, that is kind of very central to the core things that we're doing. You know, everything we're doing on the GLAM projects and the educational projects is all very much part of that. That's linked into partnerships with other institutions, getting people to contribute and to edit and collaborate and so on. I've also put in here, this is very much linked to the kind of the growth agenda that we've talked about before in board meetings, in the sense of we've got our own agenda of increasing the amount of participation in Wikimedia's activities, in the sense of us doing more kind of activities, scaling that up and so on. So by definition, that's also about increasing participation, although in a slightly different way. Reach, this we do have a grant in our budget about about diversity, which is sort of quite vague at the moment. There's £10,000 in there, which is about saying, it's called something slightly different, I think, actually. Is it under general activity?
Did we bundle it up?
Extended
reach. Yeah.
I did a list of all the things,
Yes.
And then
yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Scotland Ireland Wales.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, so that's really about so female participation and Scotland Ireland Wales and minority ethnic and linguistic communities, which is sort of very much what this is about in terms of reach, particularly in terms of female participation. And of course, we have done stuff. The Girl
Geeks.
Two things,
to my knowledge. Manchester, one in Bristol.
Yeah, I think we've done two in Manchester now, haven't we?
Yes.
So yes, that whole Girl Geeks project has got quite a lot.
It's coming out of the education budget. So we're addressing this yep. extended reach, not with this 10K, but with all our budget across all our activities.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
On that centre, did you mean not to have a common between minority and ethnic?
Don't think I really thought about it.
No, you don't.
Ethnic or linguistic community.
It's two things, not three.
Well, it does if you wanted to cover lesbian and gay or black people.
Yes.
Right. Yes. So I think actually we need minority groups of other types disabled are open to funding and support. Yeah, yes. Disabled, which I'm specifically discussing with the people at the British Museum. So I think that needs to be phrased in a way that sort of encompasses all that.
A personal bugbear of mine, I would prefer if that was phrased as underrepresented minority as well, because the issue is that there are lots of minority groups which have lots of coverage on Wikimedia, and there's, you're not improving diversity by giving money specifically.
But there's also community engagement. So, for example, yes, we've got.
But it shouldn't come out of that budget. That's what I'm saying.
Well, there's a different thing. Well, there may be lots of stuff in our projects about certain topics. That doesn't mean that we've engaged that community at all.
Exactly.
I'm not sure we want to spend this.
No.
That wasn't the point. Yeah.
The point of that budget head was to make sure that there was extra money available if we were thinking about doing something that would broaden our reach that wouldn't necessarily fall under another budget head.
Yes. Yeah.
The last header is on the innovation front, and it's difficult to find something that sort of matches in here. The grants program sort of does this in the sense that if someone has a bright idea or something new to do, they come to us with a grant idea and then we support.
The
opportunity fund. So it's not something that we specifically focus on innovation or anything like that. So the key questions I wanted to ask. Firstly. Are we generally aligned with what the foundation is doing? And when I went through it and when John went through it, I think the answer we came to was pretty much yes. And is everyone comfortable with that? I think there are gaps. Have you done any work on this at all? Looked at our activity plan? I know Barry's looked at it, hasn't he? Yeah.
Yes,
have you got any feedback in terms of whether you feel it's aligned?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think what I would say at a kind of a gut level is when we were designing the five priorities for the Wikimedia movement, we weren't designing them with an eye to every entity mapping against all five, right? we figured that we could take a complementarity approach, right? And so some entities would lead on some things and some entities would lead on other things. And so I can tell you just from the perspective of what we were thinking about when we were building that. For example, we felt that the Wikimedia Foundation would not take a lead on quality, right? We felt like quality is primarily going to be driven by editors, individual editors, and also by groups of editors, right? Doing things like the grand partnerships and so forth, which we don't do, right? That doesn't mean, so it can be, I think, a little bit unclear for other groups, because if, for example, the Wikimedia Foundation doesn't fund a GLAM thing, it doesn't mean we don't think the GLAM thing is important or a priority for the movement. We think it's not our priority for funding, but it ought to be somebody's priority for funding, if that makes sense. So I'm going to ask you guys later to talk to me a little bit about what the chapter sees as its purpose vis-a-vis the English Wikipedia editing community, right? But but assuming that you see that as in your scope of work, right? I would think that that doing the so-called, what we call the Wikimedia Foundation, the deep community work, which is the hard community health, community growth, the diversity work, is the thing where I think the chapter, like personally, I think the chapter can really add value, and where the Wikimedia Foundation needs the chapter to add value. But all this, so that's sort of a preface, but all this looks fine to me. And then it all makes sense. There's nothing there that's not aligned. They're big, broad bullets, right?
Yeah.
And that all makes sense.
There were six specific questions that I wanted to ask. In terms of output from this session, I mean, what I was really after, that sounds very vague, is just a consensus about what we need to do differently. In terms of actually implementing it, I think that then, we then refer back to that when we have a discussion at the next board meeting about the 2012 activity plan and what we're gonna, how we're gonna change that. So we don't necessarily need to make hard, you know, detailed decisions now, but just more of a general feeling, I think, for things. The six questions I have, if I can go through them one by one. First one is increasing reach. My first question is simply, are we doing enough? You know, we have a budget of £500,000. We're spending £10,000 on diversity. Although, as you said, actually, it's on all of our budgets.
I think it informs but everything we do.
Do we need to do more to make sure it does? I think.
Is that a question you want us to discuss?
I think so. Yes.
One example I'd like to give is sometimes it's very difficult to do with the work we did with Derby Museum. The whole purpose of that was to work with people who were living in Derby, whose first language wasn't English, and we missed. We got the world, but do you know what I mean? The original purpose was to try and appeal to people who hadn't got English as their first language. We wanted to go to the Tamil community and the Urdu community within Derby and get those people working on the museum. But actually we couldn't manage to grab those people. We just put a broad appeal and actually ended up with people from the world a bit.
You managed to engage the Derby Latvian community.
Yeah. Pardon?
You managed to engage the Derby Latvian community.
Well, yes, I'm saying, but occasionally we managed to get a little tiny bit of snippet of this or that, but actually trying to focus in on diversity, we failed.
I'll tell you, Chris.
Mike, I think, yes, obviously, our objective should be to work increasing diversity through the point of that budget line, isn't it? We have £10,000 for diversity, and that's it, we forget about it. However, how we sort of mainstream increasing diversity is quite difficult. I think at the moment we don't really have a set of metrics with which to assess the impact of what we're doing. I think there's a broader strategic question about what metrics we should use and whose responsibility it is to report them. I think there's a big opportunity there as we set up a set of metrics to incorporate some that are about diversity, so that when we have, say, a World War One outreach project, for instance, we aren't simply looking at, well, this is a project about World War One, so let's have lots of cool military history articles. We're looking at the impact that project has across our objectives, and we make diversity one of the objectives that we're looking at. And that will at least give us an idea of where we are and what kind of things are working.
I was discussing that with the World War One guy from Oxford University.
Yeah.
And he was saying that it's very tempting to think that the World War was all about blokes holding guns.
Indeed.
And actually it was also about women being at home looking after their families. Because, you know, there's...
I'm fine.
If we're not careful, we look at German Luger pistols because we think that's what the war was about, but actually it wasn't.
I've had some experience of trying to go into ethnic communities down in Bristol, quite a lot in fact, over the last couple of years, and some of you have heard me go rant on endlessly about the Somali project. One danger, with Chris's absolutely audible point about if we're putting a programme together, we need to think carefully about the metrics for its implications in terms of diversity, has been how do you actually talk to the ethnic groups in the terms and the ways and the fashions that they would reciprocate and respond to. I've gone, I suppose, in the classic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant way, straight into the front door, met them in different places around town and tried to get them involved. Everyone's going, yeah. But when it's come to, now let's get in a room and do something, they haven't done it. And I think we're going to struggle to get them to respond on their terms until we can work out a way where we can incentivise them. I think there is a classic administrator, bureaucrat, council, government approach whereby, you know, 15% of all we do has got to be done in diversity. Let's try and get them, and oh, we've only got three. We've got to think more in the way that they think and the way they work and operate as a community. So we've got to think of things where we can tap into large gatherings at a time, like with the Bristol Girl Gigs, where we've got a network of organisations and groups who can talk to each other and can spread the love about the wikis. Similarly, with ethnic minority communities, we could find group gatherings. So I know, for example, the Somalis meet en masse in Bristol two or three times a year. And I'm going to try and get to